Hey guys, welcome to Sled Talk. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I would like to take a second of your time and introduce this season's title sponsor is Bikeman Performance. So they've decided to jump on board and help push the podcast. And if you're unaware, Bikeman is the elite level when it comes to aftermarket performance parts on your sled. So be sure to check out their site, link in the description. And without further ado, let's jump into the show.
So Sled Talk listeners, welcome back to the next episode. This is the beginning of our summer episodes. We've got co-host Shay back on with us, as well as guest Madison. Madison, welcome on to the show. Thank you for being here and taking the time to do your first podcast with Sled Send.
Yeah, thank you. I'm kind of excited, but also nervous.
Ah, that's all good. Don't be. So Madison, let's start out a little bit more on the personal side. Give us and the listeners and viewers a little bit of an introduction to who you are, where you're from, where you live, what you do for work, all that good stuff.
Well, I was raised in Denver. I moved out here about a year and a half ago trying to get on with Amazon.
To Hermiston?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's not like I'd come out here for the views. It's not that pretty.
What do you mean?
Whoa. Some people have the audacity to call this place God's country, if you can believe that.
I mean, you got to go a little bit of ways. It's not like Denver, yeah, where I could just walk out my door and see mountains.
Skyscrapers.
Yep.
Yeah. Concrete jungle.
So, yeah, I moved out here and was just trying to get on with Amazon, and I finally got it. And then I got introduced to snow biking this past season. I'd never been on a sled or anything like that, so.
So growing up in Colorado, you've never jumped on a snow bike or a sled or nothing, huh?
No, I was like snowboarding all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're familiar with them though, at least? Maybe?
I mean, I've seen snow.
You knew what they were?
Not the snow bike, but a sled, really? Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So brand I've never new seen it, yeah. To it.
Okay. That's cool.
I saw it and exciting. I was like, okay, that's pretty badass, honestly.
Yeah.
I'd been on dirt bikes, so I was like,
naturally gravitated towards the snow bike.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And so you were introduced to it through Steven, your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Nice. And he rides both?
Mostly the bike now, but he has a sled for like super deep days.
Sure.
Are you saying snow bikes aren't good for super deep days?
They don't have the power.
Well, just that's kidding. What I heard, but I can get wherever I want, honestly.
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So what do you ride?
I have a CRF 450.
Okay.
2021, I think.
And so you started out on that and you've just carried that through the entire year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. I got a used track, so that was a lot cheaper than a brand new one that's like $7,000.
Yeah.
But I got a brand new bike up in Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Out of Outlaw?
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you deal with Dustin and Lorian? Is that who you talk to?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. What do they sell? Do they sell Timber Sled or do they sell Yeti? Who do they?
Yeah, what's your track setup?
Well, I have a Timber Sled.
Okay, gotcha.
But his wife was giving me shit about the Timber Sled, and I think she rides a Yeti.
Yeah, I think they do.
But I do believe they're going to start selling the Mountaintop.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure, but that's what I heard.
Yeah.
I'm not super versed in snow bikes. I just know Timber Sled, Yeti, and I thought there was one more that was like pretty common.
Did you see either of you? Did you see, and listeners and viewers, correct me if I'm wrong, but so the guy that created Timber Sled sold it to Polaris, right? And then he started Mountaintop. And I think he was being sued or coming after by Polaris. And I saw the article. I think Snow West put it out is where I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Have either of you heard anything more on the development of that? Because I haven't. I was just curious.
I read the comments, so I'm sure everyone could imagine what the comments said. But that's all that I know of. Mm-hmm. It's just that they were, I think, pursuing some sort of legal action.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything, honestly.
Developed with that or not. But we were around the Mountaintop there at the Cooler Freshies winter kickoff party with Darren Teal. Pretty slick setup.
It is nice. Darren's he's a pretty good guy. He knows my boyfriend. They went riding. My boyfriend's track, it broke.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, pretty much snapped, and they did everything they could possible to, like, make it right. You know, great customer service, so props to them on that. The dude that, like, helps run everything, I can't remember his name, but he ended up calling, like, 20 minutes after, just checking to see what was going on, how they could fix it, stuff like that. And we hadn't even gone off the mountain. Really? They were all calling him.
That's impressive.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
So that that's was
good sense
nice.
Of security to know that you've got a company like that.
That's I think big. For a startup, it's so important to
sure.
having that good customer service.
Yep. Agreed.
So for sure. I think we'd definitely go back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's cool because it creates word of mouth because now you're talking about it on the podcast. Yeah. Too, right? Right. So yeah. then that just spreads it out that much more. So that's mm-hmm. a pretty cool story. Talk a little bit. You and I were talking before we jumped on the show. Kind of your decision to just jump into, you know, this game, the snowmobile game, and realizing how expensive it is, how quickly. So talk a little bit about like why you chose to jump into it and how you went about jumping into it because you kind of just bought a new bike and got a kit and went for it, right?
Pretty much. I mean, I've been on dirt bikes before. I went out to Moab to the sand dunes a couple times a year, so I really like bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a snow bike and I was like, all right, that's badass. I'm always open to new adventures, so figured let's try it. If not, I can sell it. And I hated it, as I told you. I absolutely yeah, hated it the first couple bit. Of times. But now I'm like obsessed.
Yeah. So those first couple of times, what were the reasonings or the factors that laid into you not feeling so great about it?
Well, I guess I just wasn't quite sure about certain safety aspects like avalanches and stuff like that. I'm from Denver, so avalanches are pretty big.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend's kind of just like the fuck it and send it, dude. And me, not so much. I try to be a little bit more calculated mm-hmm. when I'm riding. So I was getting freaked out where he was taking me.
Sure.
And not only that, I was such a new rider. I wasn't comfortable on the bike.
Yep.
So if stuff goes wrong or if he were to get hurt, how am I going to get us out of there? Mm. You know, you have to be aware of like everything around you and think of how the heck you're going to get out.
Yeah, that's a possibility for sure.
Mm-hmm. And those kinds of things are what really worried me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started meeting more people, got more comfortable on the bike. When we have a big group, I'll try to push my limit a little bit.
Sure.
And see what I actually can do. And I think that helped a lot. Like my progress from the beginning of the season to now, I feel like just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I jumped the bike.
Oh, really? Nice.
I mean, I thought it was cool. I was turned around. And I was like, did you guys see that? Losing my shit. Yeah. And then it was just like a little
that's all right.
jump.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool, though. Huh. Nice. You got something?
Oh, I mean, we can dive into a couple things. I think, like, you just went out and bought a brand new bike. I'm assuming you probably didn't have a whole bunch of snow gear related to that either. You want to tell us a little bit about how you made your selection and what you have and what maybe
yeah, that's a
you
good
don't
idea
like, dislike, the, like, yeah. what you would like to see maybe, things that could be improved in the snow bike game maybe. Yeah.
Coming from the perspective of a brand new rider, that's,
yeah.
that's good.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to ask for the viewers, especially the ladies, do you prefer the two-piece or the mono suit? Especially like when you're way out there and you have to go to the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
which one's better?
Yeah.
yeah.
I got the mono suit mostly because I got it on sale.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Idaho for the snow show or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and we're kind of bargaining with everyone.
Sure.
And I just got whatever I could that seemed warm, and that was a little bit on sale. Mm-hmm. So we got the climb boots, two for like $300, and then I just got an FXR mono suit.
Mm-hmm. Is it, I don't know if FXR does or not. I know 509 does, and I'm pretty sure Climb does too, but they've got the zipper mm-hmm. back here. Does that one have that?
Or, yeah.
Okay.
The old butt flap.
Yeah. yeah. No, that is a good question. Listeners and viewers, ladies specifically, answer below your guys' preference.
What about staying warm? Like, so for us, we have heaters on our handlebars, right?
Yeah.
And then... I think you'll probably be the same, like your exhaust right down there by your legs. So that probably keeps you a little warm on your legs. But what about your hands? Like, what about your glove selection? You have typically you have like thick,
or?
Yeah, thick
I've
gloves
got
or?
The, yeah, I've got the heated handlebars.
Gotcha.
And then I've got the covers. So mm-hmm. I really don't get any wind or snow on them. I haven't had any problems with my hand, but like my arms or my chest,
mm-hmm.
when we're sitting there, I definitely get cold pretty quick. So I need to get better. Under gear, you know.
Sure.
So
base layer stuff.
Mm-hmm. Insulated or non-insulated mono?
Shell.
It's lightly insulated.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's not super thick, but it's also not just the shell.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yep. That's a, yeah, probably a happy medium. I prefer just a shell.
Shell, yeah.
And then
shell
I'd rather have layers because then I can add or subtract layers accordingly. Yeah.
Yeah, good base layer goes a long ways.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, because I know, like, Lindsay, I got her, I think it's a 3.0. I think it's the warmest base layer that Climb offers, and it makes a big difference, for sure.
Probably a little bit happier.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, you got the base layers and then mid layers also, and then your, you know, your outer shell too, but makes a difference.
That's next on the list. That and a beacon, all that. I don't have that yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, you mentioned you're a little bit out of your comfort zone, at least for, like, avalanche danger. What next steps do you plan on taking for that?
I want to get a beacon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely like to get a vest.
Mm-hmm.
And then I definitely want to do an avalanche training course. I think that anyone should do that, especially if you're trying to like push your boundaries or go out and tour new areas you haven't been to, see new stuff. You really should have the base knowledge. Not only that, but like survival knowledge as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have a bag full of everything you need to survive for a day, 2 days, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that's important.
You thinking about a vest or a backpack?
I'd probably do a vest.
Yeah.
But I haven't tried any of them on.
I'd probably help with the warmth as
that's
well.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
For sure. What about like cargo? Because I have a backpack which fits a little bit of stuff in it, but then I also have a tunnel bag. What does that look like for a snow biker?
I have a backpack. So I'll typically carry my food or water in there. And then I do have a little box on the track itself.
Okay.
A little tunnel bag on the rail.
Mm-hmm. I also have the number plate the bag. There'll be some tools in that, for if stuff breaks, go ahead and fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a medical kit?
I wouldn't probably classify it as a medical kit. It has like I want to say it has like gauze, tape, I don't know what it's called, but like it's not a bandage, but it's what you'd use to wrap over top of the gauze essentially. And then like some band-aids, I want to say there's burn ointment in there, and then maybe some like ibuprofen. So I should probably carry more.
I've got quite a bit of stuff in mine, and then I also keep a bivy.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's also a good thing to have.
Stay the night. Mm-hmm. And then I have like four different ways to light a fire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just in case, because you never know, right?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that would not be fun being stuck out, not being able to light a fire.
Yeah. But as far as other like safety supplies, I don't really. I got the first aid kit, the bivy, fire starter. Obviously have an avalanche bag. I hardly carry any food, and I carry very little water on me.
Yeah. I
just thinking carry, of like an overnight situation. I don't really.
Yeah. I probably need to be, I would say for myself, I definitely need to be a little more proactive on what I pack, and I keep telling myself to get better at it, but I don't. I typically, I think take maybe I take like two bottles of water. A Gatorade electrolyte. It's like it's kind of small, but I do like drinking that about midday. Before I go out, I was taking some Mountain Ops before, but I ran out of that and I haven't gotten any since, so need to get on that. And then food, I'm not really like, I don't pack too much. I don't like to eat when I'm up there, but I do like having something like just in case. Like I could definitely survive a night on food, but anything past that I'm probably SOL.
Sure. What's food like for you? Do you like to pack a lunch and eat while you're riding, or prefer not to? Or
I mean, I'll typically pack a lunch just in case I'm up there and I'm starving, but usually my nerves are high and I'm like pumped, I can't eat. But at the beginning of the season I just put a couple of granola bars in my bag. And I plan on, like, keeping that there.
Sure.
In case shit does go south, I'll always have them. Mm-hmm. Don't really touch them unless I'm starving.
Yeah.
But I'll bring some crackers, cheese and crackers, you know, maybe a sandwich. Nine times out of ten, I don't eat it though.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
it ends up smashed.
Yeah,
typically mine.
Well, and there's not really a way to have a hot lunch on a bike, is there? It's not like they have muff pots attached to them like our sleds do.
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
Not that I know of. At yeah. least.
Cold Sammy.
Yeah.
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 About it. Yeah. What about I mean, for me at least, I have a saw. Or a chain, at least, that I have now. I feel like snow bikers, that might be a little different. I feel like it's probably a little bit easier to toss those around. Do you carry one of those at all?
I don't, but my boyfriend does.
That makes sense.
I mean, he's had to cut himself out of somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, not to say those bikes can't get into those situations, but I'm sure they can get into some, well, I've seen them get into some very sticky spots that I would not go.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. We've been riding with a couple of sleds, and they'll, like, go up something that us bikes do. They'll get stuck most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
But the bike is so small, and you can easily just move it around in between trees.
Yeah.
A lot easier to lift.
Yeah. Maneuverability is a lot easier.
For sure. I feel like
Well, we have a lot more horsepower than you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which I'll take that all day.
That kind of leads into, what I'm kind of going into. I feel like that's always the common statement, right? Is like, well, you know, sleds are going to go straight up it, right? Bikes, you know, if it's something steep, they're going to kind of go back and forth all the way up. But when you get into like the thick of it, I mean, I've made the mistake of trying to follow snow bikes off of certain things, not really knowing that they were snow bikes, and then getting to a point where I'm like, I can't fit through this rock and this rock. Like I don't know what to do at this point. Right. Is that kind of something you're saying you've rode with sleds a couple of times? Is that a pretty common thing that you hear from your friend group?
Absolutely.
Are you guys like kind of pitted against each other every once in a while? Like, oh, these snow bikers or blah, blah, blah. Oh, these snowmobiles can't keep up.
I think that's just kind of a dude's mentality in general. Talk shit, you know? Fair enough. So you've got the biker and then you got the sleds. They're all going to talk shit, but... At the end of the day, if you're given one option or another, like you only have one toy to play with, you're going to go.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think sleds will probably be able to roost the bikes a little bit more, though, when they get stuck, though. If we can get to you guys, at least.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hope you're enjoying the show so far. Just want to take a quick second to introduce another one of this year's sponsors. We got RSI, so whether you need handlebars or grips, seat covers, controls, etc., doesn't matter. Use Sledson 2023 at checkout for 15% off your next order.
For sure. I do want to touch on the avalanche thing and put this out there because I would like to... So I took level one airy avalanche, not last season, but the season before, and then a rescue day as well. And so going into this next season, especially with the, you know, setup that we have with the team now, so Jeff, Shay, and Kobe, I would like all of us to go to take a course together. And so open invite to you and Steven, if you guys want to team up and go with us, you're more than welcome to, because I'm a big believer in that stuff for sure, especially the idea of like, you know, because even this last season riding with the team, well, I was the only one that was trained, right? So... And not saying that I know everything about avalanche stuff by any means, because I don't. But for example, right, let's say we're all out there riding and I'm the only one with knowledge and I'm the one that gets buried.
Exactly.
Right. So it's like I want the entire team to be, including the cameraman, to be, you know, because he's probably the most scared out of all of us of the avalanches for sure, Jefe.
He's ignoring us right now. Pretending out. Arbitrarily poking at the camera.
Well, dude, I think, I don't know if I've mentioned this on a story or on a podcast before, but the season him and I were headed up to Catherine to go ride, and it was just him and I, and usually Jeff is like if there's silence, Jeff does not like it. So like Jeff will talk and make small talk or talk about whatever, you know, so we're, you know, if you're sitting in a vehicle with him, he's going to be talking pretty much the entire time, right? Because that's just how he is. Well, there was, I don't think it was high avalanche danger. I think it was in the orange.
Considerable.
Yeah. But he was still freaking out a little bit because I think the day before or 2 days before it was high. And he's been, you know, watching the report and stuff. And he was pretty in his head about it and a little bit nervous. So much so that pretty much the whole ride there, he was quiet. which never happens because he's always talking. So that told me, he was like, oh shit, he's in his head a little bit worried about the Avalanche stuff. But anyway, side story. But yeah, extending that out to you, because the Wallowa Avalanche Center, Victor and his wife Kelly, they're incredible instructors with that stuff. That's who I went to a couple seasons ago. So I definitely plan, and I haven't told you that either, but I would like the team to go at least for sure, and then coordinate with you if you and Steven want to come with us as well.
Absolutely.
More the better. Because
good content too.
Yeah, oh, for sure. It'd be cool to get a whole group. Mm-hmm. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I want to expand, you know, the writing group here locally too now. So, I mean, even if it's Steven, you and me and Lindsay, you know, as we expand and ride with new people and stuff, you know, because I know people that if you're not trained in Avalanche, they won't go ride with you.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I'm like leaning more and more towards sense, that just because of like the areas that we're getting into and turbo sleds or, you know, even snow bikes and stuff, you can get into shit real quick. That's
absolutely,
maybe you shouldn't be there. So I wanted to put that out there on the Avalanche stuff. But, so again, also being new to the sport as well, just running this last season. So, about how many times did you go out and ride, and kind of like where all did you go? Cause I ran into you there at Tollgate. Mm-hmm. We didn't know each other at the time, obviously, but, so where are some other places, and about how many times did you go throughout the season?
Probably went like 15 times or so. Okay. We've been quite a few times. We went up Tollgate most of the time. We went up Catherine Creek once. Mm. And then there's another place, and I forgot it. But it was somewhere. Oh, Cove. Have you guys been in Cove?
Like, is that Cove, Oregon?
Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. Yeah, there's a mountain right up that way. Uh-uh, we went there Christmas Day.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to have to look up where Cove's at now.
I've heard of it, but I don't.
My boyfriend really likes it. He said that they get really good snow there. When we
He's
went,
probably mad that you're putting it out on the podcast. Probably.
That's all right.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's okay.
That's right outside of
Catherine. That's just north of Catherine. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, when we went, it was super wet. And it was horrible. I was falling over. Uh-oh. I was pissed. I was so pissed. But he said that typically there's really good snow up there. Mm-hmm. So that one was cool. I really like Catherine Creek, though, because that's the real open one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Once you finally get up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I like about Catherine, too, versus especially like Tollgate, is to from like the snow park to the warming shelter at Tollgate's like 17 miles, mm-hmm. but the snow park to the warming shelter at Catherine is like 8 miles.
Right.
9 miles. And so you can be there, which, not that I like to go right
to the warming shelter. Where are you going?
But just past the warming shelter is where all, at Catherine, just past that is where all the fun starts. So it's definitely a lot shorter of a trail ride. Quicker. And it's way more open. Yeah, that's probably my favorite local place to ride, I would say. 2 hours from here, so it's not that bad.
Yeah. I think you were telling me up north in Washington a little bit, there's some good areas you've been to.
Yeah, so Sam Lasak area is pretty good. That's some pretty serious stuff. And then, I mean, I've never rode like Baker or anything like that. I've heard that has its own challenges, right? But I think that'd be fun. Follow a guy on Instagram. His name's Roman. I think he rides out of Wenatchee somewhere. That looks fun. But yeah, the Sam Lasak area is pretty sweet. And then same. It's weird because if you watch throughout the year, the storms, like if you were just to have Washington as a map right here, right, and you were to draw the Cascade straight down, if you hit like the I-90 corridor, right down to probably White Pass, so US 12. It's weird because the storms each year kind of come in at a different angle. And so it really varies on like how good the snowpack really is. Like this last year, Little Natchez wasn't that great, right? Like Quartz Mountain was pretty miss almost every time I think you went up there. But you just head south a little bit to White Pass, Tampico area, and they got hammered. And I mean, as a crow flies, it's a matter of maybe like 10, 15 miles, right? And then you look up at like the Sam Lasak area, which is like just a little north of the I-90 corridor. I think they got hit pretty well too. So super hit and miss, but all three of those areas are good to have in your back pocket, at least for me.
The only place in Washington I rode is Adams, on Adams.
Yeah, which would be awesome. It looks pretty fun.
Yeah, it was
never been there.
Bluebird, we were up on top. It was pretty sick. My sled fell apart, but it was fun.
Well,
it was pretty there. Is there any other places outside of Oregon? I mean, does Steven ride in other states that you'll be able to go to or have a desire to go into Idaho? Or does any of your family back in Colorado ride that you would go back there and ride? Or
no. I mean, if my family rode, I probably would have rode sooner on.
Sure, fair enough.
I do know one person out in Colorado who rides sleds quite a bit.
Is his name Chris Brandt?
No, okay.
Swing and a miss. It's okay.
No, but my boyfriend, he went up near Post Falls with Darren that one time. Right. He said that was cool riding. I'm personally down to go wherever. That's why I'm on here. I want to start getting into the community a little bit more, meet more people, have more places to experience and stuff like that, you know? Yeah. And the only way to do that is to get yourself out there.
Well, and the only way to do that with us is to get a snowmobile, not a snowmobile. Just kidding.
Oh,
just
man.
Kidding. No, we'll have to we'll have to ride for sure. We'll get Steven on here too. We'll all just plan a ride next season. Any other snowmobile or snowbike specific?
I mean, where
questions
right now? If you could choose to pick like a destination for next year, right? Next season, you have one in mind?
Well, I think Montana's pretty cool. I'd go out to Montana.
Yeah.
Rent one of those cabins out there or something. Have a bonfire in the middle of the winter and then go riding. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be fun.
A whole weekend getaway, long weekend. Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Snow's better there typically anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
For sure. What are some, you had off camera kind of mentioned, you know, expanding and some different companies and stuff. Do you have any preferences of other companies that you would like to maybe work with or pursue in this next season or?
Well, I really need to get base layers. So I'd like to try and do climb since you said that works for Lindsay.
Yeah.
I'm fairly tiny as well. I don't really want to get too cold.
Yeah.
Other than that, I like my monosuit right now. I like my boots, my gloves, stuff like that. I do need to get myself some graphics, though.
Oh, yeah.
I broke my front fender this last time out, and I'm like, well, there we go. Now I have a reason to get some nice pink graphics.
There you go. Heck yeah.
So like your fender's missing? Like your front fender is missing?
Oh, it's still hanging on.
Oh, there you go.
With zip ties or what?
Kind of Ronnie Mackin' it out there.
It's not too bad. I was slowly going around a corner, just putzing, and then somehow I just dumped it right into a tree.
That happens to the best of us. It's like, okay.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
What are some focuses going into this next season? I mean, I realize it's a few months away, but, you know, you had mentioned from the beginning of this last season, which is your first time up until, you know, 15 rides later, your progression that you had there. Going through and running those reps and the things that you were getting better at or things maybe you were still struggling with, you know, where do you have your sights set for next season on some personal evolutions or experiences that you want to increase?
I definitely want to get more comfortable with the bike, just being able to move it through trees, do what I want with it. I'd like to work on jumping a little bit more too. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I caught a little bit of air and it was like, oh. So I want to try that again, have a little bit more control with it. And really just confidence, honestly. I want to be able to go into something and not be too hesitant about it, but also have enough confidence to get through it, you know, challenge myself a little. Yeah. If you don't challenge, how are you going to progress? Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah, that's been one of my favorite things is just confidence in the terrain. Obviously, confidence in your ability to, you know, maneuver through the terrain, you know, because in past seasons you could pull up to something and be like, nah, and then you work your way to that and then you get through it to where now you could pull up to something challenging and be like, oh, yeah, like I'm confident in my bike or my sled. I'm confident in my gear. I'm confident in my riding ability. Like I understand how to read this terrain. and having confidence to move forward through it is, you know, all the tricks and the jumps and the hopovers, that stuff's all, you know, super cool. But being able to have, you know, real high confidence in sketchy, sketchy terrain is one of my favorite characteristics of it. Like, I like going into like a nasty creek bottom and having the confidence within myself to get out of that. Like, that challenge alone is probably one of my favorite parts of writing, I feel.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And when you're confident, it kind of frees up that bandwidth within your like mental state, I guess, mm-hmm. as well, to focus on the other things, right? Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Have yourself enjoy it a little bit more too.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, for sure. I think I've mentioned it before, but sometimes I go into situations, right, and just kind of overthink it in my head. Like, it's so detailed and it has to be like this certain way, when really, you know, just having the confidence and going with the flow typically looks pretty badass.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So moving away from the snow stuff for a minute, unless you had something else.
Oh, no. Let's go with it.
So since we are in the middle of the summer, well, I guess it's the beginning of June. Outside of the snow world, like being summertime and stuff, what are some activities and hobbies that you have throughout the summer while you're waiting for the snow to fly?
Boating.
Oh, yeah.
The wake surfing's kind of fun. I got to get better at that. I'll probably try wakeboarding this year. Mm-hmm. I tried last year, but the board was way too big. Like, the bindings were way too big. So I'm going to try that. And then other than that, I have a garden.
Okay.
Yep. I'm growing tomatoes.
There you go.
Nice.
There you go. Shay, what are you doing with your summer?
Working. Working, raising a 3-year-old. Currently, we actually just planted watermelons too.
Oh.
So I'm going to see if those take off or die. It's one way or another, right? Yeah. Got some yard projects coming up. Got to build the little one a playset. So ripping up some of the lawn, you know, divvying that up, building a playset. So a little different direction, but still keeping myself busy. For fun, though, I really enjoy fishing. And being on any way I can be on the water. I love to be on the water, but fishing for me is something that's super, super relaxing. Can be super frustrating as well, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, it's kind of all on you on that point. The classic golfing. And I am horrible at golfing, but I love it so much. Yeah.
Really?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's frustrating, but it's fun.
It's so frustrating. Yeah. Cause you can, I mean, days where like, you know, my irons are super good, but my driver is just horrible. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, you know, I feel like I've made all of the changes that I need. My driver is great. And then I like go to pull out my irons and I have confidence with that. And then just poof, gone. And I'm like, what happened? Right. It's literally been 12 hours. And, yeah. I'm a completely different person. And so, yeah, just everything about it is, it's fun. It's a little challenging too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, Lindsay used to golf quite a bit, and I think we have a golf cart and we're going to get back into it.
Let's go.
I think I've been on the golf course like 3 times in my life.
That's probably. Okay.
I've got clubs. I'll go.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Open invite. But the house projects, oh my god, I feel you on that.
Yeah you guys, well, I mean, last time I was over there, you guys just got the curbing done, I think, for the backyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we tore out the whole yard around the house. A tree fell on it and the power company had to drive across our yard to cut the tree down.
Just recently?
On our power line. No, it was like 6 months ago.
Okay.
No.
I was like,
that's
no
why
way.
We
got
did all
of
the
that
work.
Done. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was like 10,000 square feet of yard, which was like 10 grand. And the power company paid for like $7,500 of it.
Oh, well.
So I got like pretty much a whole new yard. And then we did a new fence and concrete curbing. And then Lindsay planted a garden. So we're doing all that stuff.
Garden game, baby.
As well. And then I just poured a big concrete pad. And I'm setting, you know, the shipping containers mm-hmm. that I have all the merch in. We're setting that on the pad and then building the roof over top of the containers. And then on the inside in between the containers, we'll have a hot tub, sauna, cold plunge and
sauna.
Blackstone, little Ooh. Outdoor kitchen thing.
Cool.
Question on that. What are you getting for your cold plunge?
Probably
decided.
Yeah, probably the company, plunge.
Okay.
Cool. But the tub, the large, it's like $5,000.
Yeah. I'm gonna say, I looked at that one, where it's literally just like a barrel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, this one can't be, you know, that bad. Nope, north of a grand. I'm like, holy crap, dude. Like, yeah. I'm just going to get a horse trough and go. By the time I spend one of those, or buy an ice maker, yeah. right? I could just buy an ice maker, I bet, for that much money.
Yeah. Or and people will take a chest freezer.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually seen that too.
A cold plunge too.
Which I'd be interested in that. But
anyways, yeah. So a lot of the home projects and stuff. And then.
Did you buy a boat yet?
No. So what's weird is like for most of my life, I've completely hated water.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer it frozen and white. I just haven't been real big on swimming or pools or like I'll entertain it or whatever, but I typically wouldn't go out of my way. But I feel like every couple years I go through some kind of like life evolution and dude, it hit me. Lindsay and I took the dogs out to the river recently and let them swim and stuff. And it was just super nice out. And I looked at Lindsay cause Lindsay's wanted a boat for a minute. And, I was like, I think I want a boat too.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think I'll pull it off this year since I just got Snowcheck 2 new sleds, but so I think that we'll begin to do some of the water sports stuff. And, you know, that kind of, you know, Lindsay really loves the water and that gives us something to go do together.
Yeah, common,
whereas like she'll go ride a sled with me. Snowmobiling to me is not quite the same as snowmobiling to her. Right. So she's not quite like disgustingly obsessed with it as I am. Whereas like the boat thing, you know, she would really, really enjoy that. And I feel that I could gradually meet that excitement on the boat. And so that gives, you know, something really fun for us to do together in that aspect of it. Cause I do travel and leave a lot during the snowmobile season. So, that gives us a lot of fun stuff to do in the summer. So I think we'll progress in that direction. But other than that, I just work business stuff. So,
yep.
But yeah,
feel you on that one too.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, what's our time?
40 minutes.
Okay. It's good.
Do you and Steven have like a common thing that you guys do in the summer?
Boating.
Boating together. Nice.
Yep. Boating and rodeos.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I just went to one this last weekend. It was dope.
I mostly like to go because I like to dance after.
There you go.
Yeah, you won't see me out there.
No, I was going to say it now. I'll be tapping my leg. That'll be about it.
That's kind of where he's at.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a dancer. Never have been.
I'll get there, but it's a little bit later in the night.
Yep. Well, I don't know if you know or not, Madison, but at the end of every single episode, we do the Sled Talk question where the guest asks the listeners and viewers a question regarding something in the snowmobile, snow bike world. So it could be something about snow bikes specifically. It could be something about gear. It could be something about safety equipment that you pack with you. Absolutely anything, as broad or as narrow as you want to go. What's a question that you would like to ask the listeners and viewers?
Well, definitely the two-piece or the mono suit. I think that's good. And then also brands of beacons you guys like. Good beacons. I've been trying to look at it. They all kind of seem the same. So a beacon I'd like to know about.
That's a good question. That's never been asked before either, actually. Cool. Well, so to talk to us, listeners, comment below. We want to know what you guys rep for beacons and why to help Madison make her decision for purchasing one for next season. So, Shay, thank you for being back on. Madison, thank you for coming on for your first podcast.
Thank you.
And Sled Talk listeners, we will catch you guys on the next one. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye-bye.
100K on the Patek Philippe, living life with no regrets.
I can't.
Designer when I get dressed.
Hey.
Summertime on winter fresh.
Fresh.
I put her legs behind her head.
Oof.
Night night she gonna bed.
Bye bye.
Every day it's a new test.
Oh.
I just keep chasing these checks.